Winspiration, the way to the essential. On UK Health Radio, Winspiration brings wisdom and information for an extraordinary future. Together, we can shape the world we want to live in. So let's get real and create the idea. Be extraordinary. Welcome to another episode of Winspiration Radio, and we are talking about wisdom and information for an extraordinary future. And sometimes people say, isn't it too much extraordinary future? Is this really possible? But as we live on the level of duality, we know where light is, light and dark, and hot and cold. So where is a topic, where is a problem, must be the solution. And how do we create this extraordinary future? How do we do this? What do we need to think? And how should we be? And today, I have really the honor for a special guest who I think super for brain picking how to create a better extraordinary future. And I have 3 pages here. I think it needs a whole session to explain what a fantastic person we have here today. It's Professor Dr. Annabel Ternes, and she is considered one of the leading figures in sustainability and digitization. They call her one of the visionaries of the healthcare system and as one of the outstanding managers and entrepreneurs from all over Germany. She is a managing director of the SRH Institute for Sustainability Management and professor for social sustainability and communication management. Wow. And has made her name as a futurologist, keynote speaker, author, and founder of a lot of sustainable startups. So let's add just this. Otherwise, I use the whole time explaining what she all did and what she is really great for. And so thank you for coming. I really feel blessed and honored that you're here. Share something of your wisdom, how we can create a better future. And so welcome. And maybe if you would add something about but also just this a question, what do you think when we look at the nations, the state or companies and the individual, what can we do to really live a better life? And I know we talk about VQ, intelligence, and so on. So let's learn from you.
Thank you very much for the introduction, for introducing me and welcoming me. I'm very happy to be here and sharing some of my experience, but also of my thoughts here with all of you. First of all, when I grew up, I grew up in a family which has long roots and where it was normal that you feel as a part of the family. And you had always this we feeling. I always had duties in this family I had to fulfill because of my position in the family, because of my gender. And so later on, I figured out that the topic media vision, so this is a time in the 11th century where people grew up from feeling like a piece of a family, piece of a mass, piece of a branch of whatever, where you have your position and can't get out. And as a child, it was super interesting for me how outer and external sectors changed that and gave these people suddenly the idea that they could feel as a me or as an I and as an individual. And that this I could be relevant and this feeling could be relevant for the community again. So I read about that as a child and I thought, couldn't this be also something for me? And back to your question, I think it's important we in our daily life, in this digital world, we are hunger for feeling as a me, but we are all, on the other hand, hungry for feeling connected. And first of all, to get a kind of meaning, we often focus, first of all, externally on being a part of here or there, and we want to be part of the most important, and we want to be part of the most safety. But by being so in the outer world and being so little in yourself, we forget about ourselves, and that gives us also the feeling that we are empty. The most important way is, first of all, to feel yourself again and be unified with yourself, feel the contact with the ground, and know who and what you are and what your potentials are. And therefore, future skills, WeQ, Planet We, this is all something where I really stand behind, because it means that first, that to be there for the world or with the world, with the others, it's first of all super important to be with you and feel yourself. Otherwise, you spread out so much also from the energy you have somewhere and can't be resilient with that.
Yeah, this sounds very great. And it sounds you were lucky growing up in a family where you had this support of and the feeling of we, but also could develop your me, or what you call essence or purpose. And we do a lot of essence work and inspiration. Not so many kids are really in this position growing up in a family where they're really supported. As like I say, I was born as an apple, but unfortunately in a barren family. And they tried to make a good parent out of me. So I started to realize, okay, I'm not okay, because everybody around me says parent, parent, parent is good. Yeah. So, and kids who are coming on planet Earth, they're still connected with the invisible world. And then we teach them how to forget everything and disconnect them so that they get lost. How, for example, is so from your point of view possible that we maybe create a different education, because the parents not always are bad, they don't know better. Yeah,
I completely agree with you. I think the adults' word is the word of people who have forgot about themselves and are too much ratio, too much analysis. Also using the analytics for knowing or having an idea of emotions, because they forgot about that. There so much went through so many systems, like the school system is, where it's not about your potential, where it's not about your individual strength, where it's not about getting the best out of you, where it's about getting uniformed, how to put yourself in a frame. And it's interesting, because I mean, and the answer is super easy, but the answer is an answer nobody wants to hear. Hopefully, more and more people would like to hear. The answer is ask the kids. And I like very much a philosopher and educator, a teacher, and medical doctor, Janusz Korczak. A Dr. Goldsmith, who was a Polish Jewish guy, super supportive. Especially for the youth without parents living in the Warsaw ghetto during the Second World War, who went into debt with the kids because he wanted to be together with them until the whole life. And he said, "What should kill our children? They have so much wisdom in themselves, what they say." And to be honest, I'm a mother of 4.5 years old. And I've learned so much during these times. I mean, I told you about my family, and you said, yeah, this is a good. They try to learn how the world goes. And we a bit forget about that. We forget about that what we need. And later on, we try to consume food. We try to smoke. We try to take drugs. We try to things. To using this as a kind of consuming instead of finding this in ourselves, we try to find it in the world around us.
Yeah, that is a really a big topic. And for me, it's an interesting question. The connection now, when we talk about sustainability or the startups, people who are not really connected or have this kind of childhood, how can they think in sustainability, because it's a, they are more in a kind of fear always or survival mood. So is sustainability only possible with people we force, the government is forcing us, or do we need to change something? Because then if you look at natives, people, they take care, they live with nature. We forgot that we belong to nature. So
yeah, absolutely.
Are they totally different people who start with the startups?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And this is a super important point you mentioned. I mean, when we look at the European Union, we think that sustainability is something really bad and something the companies have to be frightened against, which is full of regulations. You must, and you're not allowed to, and. And I remember 10 years ago when I took over the International Institute for Sustainability Management, I was asked by several people who said, "Annabel, what are you doing there? You're taking over an institute with such a name. Who's interested in sustainability? This is a pain in the ass. What are you doing? We'll be interested to working together with you. This is not something which is interesting to the people." And at that time, I said, it might be, but it's super important for us, for the world, and for our future. So I take over this this role, and I really like sustainability. But yes, you're right. This idea of forcing, of pushing, of punishing, I don't like that. And I don't like either the idea that sustainability and sustainable behavior means that we have to say no to so many things and that we miss so many things. I mean, why is it not possible that, for example, eating the right things could be exactly a luxury? I mean, isn't it luxury and isn't it great if I know what my body wants and if I can eat exactly that what he needs and that I, for example, eat no red meat, eat no gluten-free, and stop eating sugar. Isn't this a great luxury that I first know about what is good for my body and that I'm following that and do something good for him? I mean, maybe that means eating less. Maybe that means eating less of food, which is poisoning my body, but this is good for me in the end.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, talking for example about automatism, I mean, we like so much comfort, but isn't it great if I can do a workout for my body by going shopping instead of just ordering something and wasting energy by cars which have to do the transport, by package of which has to be produced, by all those things which has to be done without the necessity, and which are wasting energy and not following the circular economy rules. So for me, sustainability is a kind of luxury in my daily life.
We come to, like I also said, we didn't have a financial crisis and we don't really have an energy crisis. In the end, we just have a kind of value crisis. What is it what we really value? Like you said, the companies are stressed because we at the moment think the most important thing is money. And like we like to say, it's a purpose before profit. And I take the analogy, I need blood for my body. Otherwise, I can't live. But
yeah.
The meaning of life is not collecting blood. Yeah. So it's just really, okay, how much do I need? But what is the real meaning of life? So what is the really meaning? And I think being happy, what you said, is more important to understand how we live together. And if you go to the top five, the regrets of the dying, they regret what they didn't do and all this, and not living their true self.
Mm-hmm.
That is a main crisis. And could you say sustainability in this case is for me, like I was just thinking about family, I didn't grow up in a good family, so I had stress. I couldn't trust in this way, every day, different emotions. That sustainability is also something like accountability.
I would say yes, because sustainability often is seen just in these columns, you know, ecological, economical, social. But in the end, it's not true. Sustainability is a way of life. I understand it that way.
Mm-hmm.
That means sustainability means resource orientation, means that you're in a coordination of your inner and outer beauty, that yet that you do what you say and that you're in harmony with yourself and with the environment around you. So sustainability is for me a kind of philosophy. And if you fulfill that, then it means that it will fall also in our outer health, that it means resilience, that it means also the choice of what kind of job is good for you. It means everything in the end. And sustainability should give us also the trust we might not have currently. It should show us the way. It should be a pathfinder for us to. For me, it could be everything, because sustainability shows me how things work, and I get every answer just with sustainability. It shows me that I have to look in a holistic way. It shows me that just in a collaborative acting, I find the answers. It shows me, on the other hand, that agile thinking is very important, because if we just on a long-lasting way, it is only working if we have the agile approach in addition with this, because otherwise you don't see what's upcoming and can't act carefully. So there's so much which is in this word and with and coming with this word, that it's I think it could be something which is enough to fulfill to manage everything if we just follow that. And for that, we don't need all these rules, but we need these rules if somebody is not engaged, if somebody doesn't understand, if somebody is not motivated. And here, I mean, you often talk so much about soft skills in the talking about sustainability shows us that soft skills is not enough. We also need to know what is behind. We need to know what climate change means. We need to know about this marriage cake, what the UN, United Sustainability Goals, the SDGs means for the economy. We need to know also what the nine planetary goals means for us and where we have to look at. If we don't know that, we don't understand why climate protection is so important or what that means for us. We think that driving electric cars enough, where we forget about circular economy, where we forget about batteries are produced, what to do with the old batteries and or where the energy comes from, I used with my e-car. So sustainability should drive us to a completely different kind of approach and thinking and acting.
What you mentioned, or what I feel, is like also we just simply linear thinking, not seeing the complexity of the world. And everything what we do affects something, yeah. And so, and if I look at like chess, the master is not thinking just in one next move. They think up to 16 different possibilities, and that's, I guess, is what you say we are missing today in leaders in companies or politics. They just in the survival moods themselves, or how to get the stocks up, or whatever. And then they're wondering what will happen.
Exactly. And you're talking about health. So, but if you talk about fear and feeling frightened and pushing, that's not health. And this won't build a holistic approach. If you want a holistic approach, you have to think more in the idea of gamification. You have to think more in the idea of playing, of playful trying, of, we talk about mistake culture. Mistake culture is also kind of playing, of trying, of and this is how children get into the world and how they feel themselves. This is how they get a self awareness and where I'm good, where I'm not good, where I can be better, what is not my turn, finding what is my character, my personality, and therefore this is super super important. Also humor, bringing more humor into we are so serious about these things. I mean, can you win with being serious better than winning with humor?
You
win better with humor. The queries, then your blood, now you talked about blood, so your blood is getting better through your body. When you're laughing, when you're good, when you're positive, no? You feel better, more vital, you live longer. So why not using the sustainability as a kind of solving life saver and word saver, and this can be fun. I mean, this is our only.
I think it's the only way of having fun. Exactly. But that is a tricky thing in thinking and feeling in sustainability. But on the other hand, what I just felt, what you're saying is enjoy uncertainty. Because like the kids, they don't know, they don't think what is the next day. They live out the moment and handle what's coming. And like Sadhguru is saying, the adults have a big problem, they have a memory. So they try to get everything in their memory. So is it a conflict, or how does it fit together, sustainability and the love of uncertainty?
That's a great question. I mean, we as a human, we always want to have this knowing what's upcoming. And interestingly, if we're talking about weather, the Germans, I know, like it were, if you say it's rainy tomorrow, then it's sunny tomorrow. That's interesting, the statistics. If you're talking about the death, it's different. If you would say, tell them, you can choose between you won't die or you die, they would like to hear I'm not die. So the final consequence is a different thing. But we don't want to talk about the time until then. So how much time do we have left? And what should we do with the time which is left and we have to live? So yeah, that's a tricky question, I think.
It's anyway a tricky, let me say, if people die or not die. It's so interesting that they somehow have the fear of death. And if you really ask deeper, they say, no, they're not really the fear of death. They have the fear of suffering and whatever. And the crazy thing is they have so much more fear to live.
Exactly. And that's what I wanted to mention. Exactly. You bring it exactly to the point. So, I mean, we have the time now to live. And we have a great, great chance because we can always and in every second decide for the good. What's for the or for nothing? And this is always a decision we can make every moment. I can decide what I drink. I can decide what I eat. I can decide where I sit or with whom I talk. So this is most of the decisions I make over the day I have in my hand. And this is normally super great because it means that we can decide to live every second most sustainable for us, for the next generation, for the world, and we can make a difference. And this is the next thing. I think you said, how does it come together, this sustainable way with uncertainty? Yes, and uncertainty should make us brave enough to understand that sustainability is a chance. It's not a chance for decision. That certain is just the death.
Yeah, uncertainty means also we can do better.
Exactly. Uncertainty.
Yeah. Certainty means nothing is changing, really.
Exactly. Uncertainty means many
like chances. Yeah.
Exactly. It means many chances. It means we have the life in our hand, a bit, and that we have so many opportunities. Some people also asked me in the past, how does sustainability goes together with digitization?
Mm-hmm.
Digitization is termination. Mm-hmm. Digitization is always quicker. Digitization is wasting energy. Digitization is also uncertainty because you never know who's reading what, what's happening with your data. But I mean, I think we have to use the chances we're given.
And I think also it's the wrong question, because that's what we're not learned. And it's the main problem I see, that we are trained in school to have the right answer. And that's why when we said we could decide, most people can't decide anymore, because when they said what they think, it was not welcome in school. Like even mathematics, I had the right result, but the teacher said, no, not this way. It should be this way. And if you train for years to have the right answer, it's so tough, and we don't have really in the Western world the culture of teaching in school good questions.
Exactly.
That is important.
And we are trained to feeling guilty. We are today to talk about healthy and feeling guilty. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about pragmatic solutions. I want to talk about opportunities. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about the learnings I get on of something which happened, but not stuck in the pool of sticking and sticking and sticking. But we, the Germans, have learned the course of the situation with the second work one afterwards, that this feeling guilty is something which is super important, but it's something which helps us getting into life, getting into hopefulness, getting seeing chances. And then there is a difference between feeling guilty and taking responsibility. Yes. Taking responsibility means that we are living in the now and in the future. We are learning from the past. Mm-hmm. Guilty means that we stick there. And often I have the feeling that we're sticking there. And sticking there is much more fearful and being frightened than being in, what you said, uncertainty, because uncertainty is the chances of what's upcoming. And there is so much waiting for us. That is great.
Yes. Yeah. And guilt is and like fears and fantasies. No? I believe in the past, if I had done different and everything. So it was retained in Germany, where there was the book, the Untertan, like the underdog or whatever. I think it's typical. And for me as a German also, it's really strange that we have an international word, German Angst. Yeah, so it is. it is. Okay, let's make a short break and then we talk about positives again.
Okay, pleasure.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, well, we know this with the education system. What is your idea and what is the teaching the future skills? So I know you're alive with the VQ Institute. What should we, do different than with the kids that they grow up with a better backup?
I had a bad role model. I was at a school I really hate. I was at a board school where most of the teachers were nuns. And most of these teachers were nice people. But the combination of girls with nuns and the must of visiting the schools against my will was something I really hate. So I never wanted to have anything to do with the question you asked. You just asked me. But
when it is also there, if I just assume, like, church is also responsible for a lot of guilt feelings,
yes, exactly. And by the way, for example, I do know that I played the piano and I was a concert pianist when I was a child. And then when I missed school lessons, and I talked with the nuns, and they said, "You don't need to visit this school. You can go somewhere else. If you want to play piano, go somewhere else." So it wasn't that they said, "Hey, great, we support this." Yeah. So it was, okay, if you want to be individual, do it somewhere else. so for me, school should be something which is an invitation where you want to go every day, where you have chances, that you have opportunities to grow when you find your potential, where you can see your strength, where you can cooperate with others, where you can build something.
Build the brain, yes.
Exactly. Yeah. And where there's somebody who believes in you. Because you know, experiment with Rosenthal and Jacobson from the past, that believing in you can make open the world wherever. On the other hand, saying, "Well, if you don't get this, I don't believe in you. I'm not trusting you. You can do what you want." at all. It's just dropping down to people. And I saw it also by my small kid. My kid is four. But he visited one heater where there was no support. And after a few weeks coming back, it was like, I saw a really sad, not talking that much kid, where I couldn't talk that much with it. And there was no inspiration getting out of this kid anymore. And then I changed the place. And he came home full of inspiration and motivation and glancing eyes. "Mommy, I have so many ideas I would like to talk to you about." So such a difference. And I mean, if we have the chance to have these kids inspired, then we know what world can await for these people. And we know how, on the other hand, school can be downgrading, downsizing, aggressive.
Creating slaves for a system. Yeah.
Exactly. Being aggressive against yourself or others, then you don't wonder, then you're not surprised what's happening outside Underworld, because there are many grown-up kids which are just living this, feeling aggressive. So we need an Irish school, which is an invitation. We need a school like, for example, Margaret Gasfeld built it so, so great. I really like what she does, really, really like and support what she does with the Evangelische Schule in Berlin, what she started there. And if you talk to the former school students, who are sorting out the teacher, who would play a role about the content, who have this kind of Freiarbeit where the young people can search what they want to do, combine the idea of design thinking, where you search materials, where you start in a playful way. But on the other hand, where you get really responsibility for really important things, just as, for example, building a project like planting trees in your street, taking care of a plastic-free week, for example. Mm-hmm. So I think it's the young people, they grow with also the responsibility and the trust you have in them.
Yeah. And the thing, it's just a kind of 180-degree different attention we need. At the moment, like we always say, I have a house, I have a car, I have kids. Yeah? So we have them and not the responsibility to support them. And school system is how we fit them in our old world. And if we would understand or see it different, that we are responsible to help them to build their world, we would have a totally different education system. And I don't know if you know, there's André Stern, a French guy. He wrote a book, I Never Went to School. So his parents allowed him not to go to school. And if there's one person on planet Earth, you don't need to be afraid about his future, it's this guy, because he didn't went to school. Yeah, because school trains you for whatever. And Sadhguru, when his wife left him, passed away, his daughter was 4 years. And everybody wanted to teach her something. And he said, no, don't tell her anything. Let her develop what she wants.
Yeah.
And then the natives also, you have 13, the boys in the woods or whatever, make their own experience, and then they were treated like an adult. Huh?
Yes.
But one more, and then I hand it over. Like you said, something, the kids and then the small, way, that the body is small, but there comes maybe kind of a dull soul. It's just in a small body. How can we have the idea to treat her like stupid? And like you said, you learn so much from the kids. So, and as you just mentioned in the talk we had before, that you were close to be responsible for the education in Berlin, so in the government, what would you have done different? And do you really believe you had a chance to do something different?
Yes, hopefully, yes. I think it's a first a people business. So you have to bring the people together and you have to see first what people's goals are. Sometimes I think that nothing is moving has often to do with feeling comfortable with the current situation, but also, as you said, feeling frightened about a change. So first of all, I would have been sitting together with deputies from all parts and tried to get the status quo, tried to get the ideas behind the fears, as also the wishes and the dreams, and then build a picture. Because I think, for me, it's super important to have a picture you trust and or you see, and one picture you all follow. If you have all different pictures, or some people have even no picture, how can they follow something? We are not living in an abstract world, and abstract words are not giving us perspective. For a perspective, we need really these pictures. That's a kind of storytelling, right? We often talk about we need to give these emotions. So I will build this picture first together with them, mm-hmm. knowing that this is is our goal. And then try to make really small pieces. Because I've learned that it's the baby steps which are successful. It's not the big steps. Sometimes I'm wishes that it's different. And I often try to do the big steps. Then understanding afterwards that you can fail completely when the steps are too big and the shoes are too big. And it's much better to really go one step back. Turn around, check once again, and then see what mistakes are. And often those mistakes are in yourself, because it's a difference between wishing and dreams and manipulating yourself. And I think it's important that you can trust yourself also by being in the truth with yourself. And that means also that you know that these uncomfortable baby steps are the most important. And you have to get
through. A lot of patience, yeah.
It's always the same.
Yeah, it's always the same. Yeah, yeah. This is interesting. It just comes up 2006, Winspiration Day. I had a speaker, Erna Riegel, and she wrote a book, School Can Be Successful. And she became in the German town Wiesbaden, the head of a school, and wanted to change things. And all the other teachers for 1 year were dressed in black when they had meetings and not saying anything. She needed 1 year that they open up. And then they created a school. Incredible. The kids cleaned the school. They saved the money to different things. Incredible what kind of results came out of it. So interesting book. In German, the title is, I don't know if it's in English. In German, it's Schule kann gelingen. So very interesting. But that is what I always see. And it's not only a German topic, I think. There is one example that shows it works. Well, we ignore it. We don't want it. we start doing this. Like for me, using Semmelweis, Mr. Semmelweis, nearly 200 years ago said we should wash hands. And the death rate went down over 10%. No, we put him in whatever kind of charge and let more people die. And so why are we so crazy?
Why are we so crazy? Why are we so much provoking our self-systems without the need and capacity to? Yeah, good question.
Sustainability in the wrong way.
Yeah, we're sabotaging ourselves, right?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I mean, sometimes I'm asking this also by myself. I mean, when it's coming, for example, about my health end of last year, and I always, if somebody asks me, I say, don't take any antibiotic if it's not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
So last year, I had a bunch of keynote speeches, and my voice dropped down. And I said, damn it, okay, how can I do this? So I went to a doctor, and he said, it's a solution, easy solution. Just take antibioticum. In 3 days, you can do everything again. You don't need to miss anything out. You don't need to lay down and bend. Everything is fine. And I just wanted to believe that. In my innerest, I knew that this was a lie. But I followed his suggestion. And I'm still suffering from it. I still have pain in my body and my stomach from that. From November last year. So this should be a lesson for me. And normally, with so many things, I'm really, I try to follow that, be really clever and nice to myself. But this is also sabotaging myself, because we sometimes like to think and believe, and the way could be really, really easy. I would like to believe in that.
Yes.
And
authority also, doctor says it. Mm.
Exactly. We like to give responsibility to others.
Yeah.
That we think that if they decide for us, then this is done. And this is this is a shame. This is missing a chance.
Yes.
And some just get this idea that this was a chance when they're lying on the bed dying. See that they would have had a chance to decide how life goes, and didn't say, okay, he was responsible. I judged for him too. I couldn't do this and that.
And yeah, but this is a big difference be handing over the responsibility or just collecting information and then make their own decision? Or
And the easy answer to your question is it's energy, which is the answer.
Everything in the universe is energy and information in it. Or let's just say it's about the intention.
Because if we haven't understand the system, then we think the responsibility for somebody else saves energy for us.
Yeah.
In the end, we lose the whole.
Yes.
And we lose the driver's seat, which is a kind of, the middle of us.
Okay. Let's make a short break.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
The station that makes you feel good.
Yeah, driver seat was a topic. And I know you wanted also to share something about the Club of Budapest. Then how is this all connected to each other? Because you're involved there.
Yeah. The Club of Budapest, I think it's a great chance for me to be the president for Germany now. And we're working there together, very close together with Peter Spiegel, who has a long history in the driver's seat for the Club of Budapest, as an international role. For me, the Club of Budapest is a huge, huge chance to bring people together under the idea of consciousness, under the idea of future combined with also kind of spirituality. Because we lost trust in some trust givers in the past, just as the church, just as the law, just as the medicine. And we need this trusted advisors in a kind of, and spirituality shows us that we have this trusted advisor in ourselves. Yeah. So the Club of Budapest is for me a chance to have for an institution, an initiative, a movement with a history of great people, great mind people, just as Yunus or Dalai Lama, just as Mikhail Gorbachev or Evan Laszlo, who already worked so much on this idea and drove the idea so much further. I mean, of course, these are big footsteps, yes. It's important now to fill us with new ideas and also give the next generation a chance to take a role there. And this is one of our goals we want to drive further. We want to give Club of Budapest a chance to lift up and give advice to the next generation with its great great ideas, with innovation ideas. There are so many...
plan to do this, sort of what the idea is to how to lift them up, how to reach them, get them to understand it, and then lift them up.
We evolve some great minded people, German based, but living abroad, but also here in Germany. So we have a small but very powerful team currently. With this, we are planning not just offers and formats, just as commissions. Expert groups, event formats, but also awards. We have two awards in planning with our United Nations groups involved, where we have one focus on oceans and ocean saving, and one focus on food security, but also food not understood just as a kind of being not hungry, but even more. Feeding yourself with something which can change also your way of thinking and acting. So these are the two awards we start with, and where we want to change and consciousness, where we want to give attention to this chances we see here by the next generation acting, but not just alone only, also in combination with the more senior people, of course, because I don't see that's the kind of we have to give up. We have to go away. It's just time for the next generation. It must be diversity. Diversity is the key. Diversity makes us strong and gives us the power to change the current and to move on in a very powerful way. Because we learn from the past for the now and for the future, as we said. So this is part of the Club of Budapest. we wanted to also work and do things from Berlin, of course, but also we'd want to involve Nordrhein-Westphalia very strong with a UNESCO Zeche Zollverein, which is a great, great symbol, I think, for how you can move a symbol of a federal state from the past to the future with great activities.
I mean, explain the listener what is Zeche Zollverein. So it was in Northern Westphalia. At the former times, they were bringing up the coal and deep down and digging there for coal. And then when they closed it, well, it, one of these areas was the name of Zeche. No?
Exactly, yeah. And I think it's a great monumental symbol for this.
The tower is still there.
Exactly. And we want to bring this together because it's important to bring this internationality from Berlin, these great-minded thinkers together with also this acting and working and also with this idea of handcrafting. Mm-hmm. And we are, I think it's super important to have this full symbolic locations, just as Brandenburg at Tour, where we are located here. Mm-hmm. And use this as a sign and symbol for showing the people that solutions are sometimes and normally always super easy. We just have to sing them and understand them.
Yes, we don't see it, but it is.
Exactly. And here in Berlin, so many great, so many other great initiatives and organizations located under the Linden here in this area, such as Gates Foundation, Gorbachev Foundation, Unidos, and many others. And I think we as a Club of Budapest think that it's time for cooperation, cooperating, and time for...
That's what Winspiration idea, Winspiration Day is all about.
Exactly. SDG 17 is partnerships, and it's not the last, it's the most important, because without partnerships, we are just in our small trunk. We need our, we need to network.
To understand nature again, if you go in the woods... under the trees, this is a kind of the world wood web, wood web, and our brain is just a kind of net. Nothing is hierarchy in this way, not as linear. That's the learning.
It teaches us a very important lesson you just touched with saying that the nature is teaching us. I mean, what the nature is teaching us, that we have to act local, but we have to think global. And that means a global. It means that we shouldn't do the German way. It should be the global way. Of course, we can act as a kind of role model, but a great world will only work if we do it unified with a whole global world. I mean, if we look at India, if we look at China, for example, but even if we look, and furthermore, if we look at the developing countries and Africa, we really and urgently have to find solutions globally, where we work actively, where we involve them, and where we find also solutions for the needs of these countries. Because what happens there, without the responsibility of these countries, it's horrible. Nobody wants to look there. It's 1,000 kilometers away, and we are very good in not looking there. Because it's far enough to not watch out. But it's super important to look there. Because if we don't look at it, this will fall down.
Like you said, not the German way or whatever way. The borders or the name of Germany or Russia or Italy is invented by humans, not by nature.
Exactly.
So the nature sees only one planet. And so that's why also Peter Spiegel, you mentioned, my guest wrote the book Planet We, so that we really understand we talk of one family to do this. Very interesting topic. Thank you so much. We could go on, but unfortunately the time is on. But as you're in Berlin, we do on the 7th of May, the Winspiration Day. Maybe we see there or can some post about each other. Thank you. Thank you very much for your wisdom and your ideas and for the work you are doing. And you, listener, I hope you got out of this episode of Winspiration Radio some more ideas how important it is that we connect this future and for the future. We created the future is open. We decided, and that we should be more natural, not just normal, natural. That is the way of living. And like we said, sustainability and the love and uncertainty will create a joyful life. So I wish you all the best. Be inspired and listen to us next week and share. Thank you, Professor Manuel Denis, and see you somewhere.
Thank you. It was a pleasure for me.
This was another episode of Winspiration, Wisdom and Information to support you getting out of illusions, false identifications, limiting beliefs. We all have the power and potential to be more, do more, have more, give more. Reality is what is possible in the universe, and the best is yet to come. If you want to dive deeper into possibilities of creating the extraordinary future, go to winspiration.global or to wolfgangsonnenberg.com. More information and some free downloads like the email program Dream Goals Reality or a copy of the book The Best Is Yet To Come can be found on the UK Health Radio website under the Listen on Demand and Presenters section. Join us again next week on the Winspiration Show for more wisdom and information to create your extraordinary future.